48. The Pod. Oil and other substances glistened on the surface of the water. Modo cursed and said, "I wonder how deep it is." "It can't be more than a few meters," Colette said, holding a doorknob to keep from sliding into the pool. "I can easily swim down." "No," Modo said. "I will. Sadar gave me the key." "Only because you were standing closer to him. I grew up on the water. I'm a better swimmer." She was as exasperating as Octavia. "I'm going." He withdrew the key, then splashed awkwardly into the water. He took a deep breath, opened his eyes and pushed, kicked, and pulled his way down by grabbing onto door handles. A bit of light from above penetrated the water. The door was so far away. Finally, he reached it and grabbed hold of a pipe so he wouldn't float back up. His lungs were burning. He felt around for the wheel and found it. But where to put the key? Already he desperately needed to take a breath. Then his hand touched a small panel that slid back. He inserted the key, turned it in the lock, felt it click. He turned the wheel, pulled on the door, and struggled against the weight of the water. He opened it an inch. Water poured into the engine room. Another heave, the door opened, water flushing down the hole. He latched onto the pipe while holding the door. In a few seconds his head was out of the water and he gulped in air.
"Marvelous, Modo. Simply marvelous,"
Colette said, climbing down along the wall.
"We might live after all."
She was the first into the engine room, Modo right behind her. The engine filled the center of the chamber, a collection of giant gears, tubes, and wires that ran into the ceiling and floor of the ship, all powered by 2 6-foot-wide glowing glass batteries. They looked extremely delicate to Modo. "No wonder they kept this locked up," he said. "One blow to these batteries and no engine." Modo felt as though he were looking at a dying heart. Sparks flew here and there. He knew that water and electricity were a deadly mix, but they had to risk it. Beyond the engine, set into either side of the chamber, were 4 round pods. Modo opened the door to one. 2 people could just fit, sitting side by side on the bench. He and Colette squeezed together and set their feet on the pedals in front of them. The Actinio lurched. Was it breaking away from the Wyvern?
"Go, go!"
Modo shouted as he closed the door, sealing them in. "There must be a way to release the pod." He spotted switches, several small levers, and a long cord.
"I'm pulling this."
Colette yanked on the cord. They heard something clink outside the chamber, followed by whirring, as though a giant clock had begun ticking. The pod moved slowly backward. A metal door clanged shut outside the pod. Modo peered through the porthole and saw that the pod had moved into a circular room, slightly larger than the pod itself. It quickly filled with water up to the porthole. Nothing else happened. Long seconds ticked by. Were they trapped?
"What else can we press?"
he asked. Colette flipped one of the switches. Music began to play from some hidden phonograph, the national anthem of Icaria.
"What madness!"
She hit more switches until the music stopped. The pod rolled like a ball out of the Actinio and into the ocean. Modo spotted a switch with a sun-like symbol above it and flicked it. A light burst into life on the exterior of the pod. Through the front porthole, he saw the Actinio dropping past them like a sinking whale. Much larger and sinking equally fast was the Wyvern. Heavy bubbles burst out of its side.
"We're going to collide!"
Modo yelled. They pedaled madly while he pushed and pulled the levers, which didn't seem to do anything.
"You've turned us toward it!"
Colette cried. Modo desperately shoved the levers in the opposite direction, and the pod went toward the open ocean. A section of the Wyvern smashed them aside, and the Icarian anthem blared again, playing at double speed as they spiraled uncontrollably. Their lone hydrogen light showed them they were going down farther. It took a lot of pedaling and maneuvering to slow their spinning. The Wyvern was below them now, its wounds oozing air, oil, and several bodies. Swiveling away from the horrific sight, they took a few moments to right the craft. Neither Modo nor Colette spoke, but Modo was certain Colette had seen the same dreadful sight. After trying every combination of switches and levers, it became clear that they couldn't straighten the pod entirely. They were rising, though, according to the needle on the pressure meter.
"We're close to the surface,"
Colette said happily. But it was getting harder to pedal, and the gauge now seemed to be stuck. Modo could actually see a dim light staring down at them through the water. The moon. They sank a few feet, and another few, despite all their rapid pedalling.
I can't empty one of the ballast tanks, Colette said.
So we have negative buoyancy.
Ah, you listened to the captain.
And Sir Dar, Modo added. The bottom line is that we're sinking.
Yes, very slowly. We can fight against it with our pedalling, but reaching the surface will be impossible.
Can we swim for it? He asked.
We're already at 30 meters depth. The moment we opened the door, we'd drop like a stone. Plus, we'd have to stop pedalling, which would make us fall even faster.
We could ride the oxygen bubble to the surface.
We're too deep. It would rise too fast, and the pressure would knock us out. Plus, there's diver's sickness to worry about.
Modo knew the deepest anyone could dive from the surface was only about 20 yards.
We must find New Barcelona, then, he said. We. It's our only choice. But where is it? We travelled quite a distance by electric motor.
The pod's air was oppressively humid. Sweat glistened on Modo's palms, and he felt as though the room were squeezing in on them. With the pod's movements, he kept bumping into Colette.
But we retraced part of that distance when we attacked the Wyvern.
Yes, and the ship was anchored west of New Barcelona. Then we simply follow the compass east and we'll be there, he said, trying to sound cheery. Unless we were knocked completely off course. They pedaled, adjusting so that the compass always pointed east. They sank farther, but slowly enough that Modo didn't panic. Colette let out a groan.
I've decided that you're mon porte-malheur, Modo. Bad luck. Ever since I met you, horrible things have happened.
That's not fair. You were already a captive before you met me. You're the porte-malheur. Ever since I saw your picture, it's been nothing but murders, shipwrecks, and insanity. She leaned forward, looking down through the bottom porthole.
Take heart, Modo. We've passed the canyon and reached the plateau.
Good. Modo thought of Monturiel and Serdar. Were they dead now? The pressure would eventually crush the Actinio. Maybe they'd come to their senses and taken another pod. Its spherical structure was the best designed to withstand pressure. But how much could one of these endure?
There! There!
Colette shouted hoarsely.
I see lights!
At first Modo thought she was seeing things. Their predicament was too much for her. There was nothing but darkness before them. Then he saw the distant glimmering.
You're right.
New Barcelona was shining ahead of them.
We might just make it, Modo, Colette said. I take back what I said about you being a porte-malheur.
As they approached the underwater city, they also skimmed closer to the floor of the plateau. They pedaled as hard as they could. Modo aimed for the door they had entered on foot only a few short days ago.
We're almost there,
he yelled, as they got closer and closer to the door. He held his breath. The pod bounced down the steps, then skidded across the plateau bottom and slid to a stop, little more than an arm's length from the undersea entrance.